Welcome to Western New York at Work with Dale Martin and Lauren Lewis. Join in on the conversation about sports, jobs, economic development, and the people who make it all happen. If you're interested in growing your business, understanding the latest trends in and around Western New York, then join the discussion at 803-1520. Now, here's Dale Martin and Lauren Lewis.
Welcome to Western New York at Work, your business-friendly conversation, live here on ESPN 1520 AM with Dale Martin and Lauren Lewis, where we talk about sports, jobs, economic development, and always the people that make it happen. Good morning.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. Happy St. Patrick's Day weekend to everyone.
Yes, yes. So my co-host, Lauren, she came in, as she always do, dressed for the occasion. She's celebrating. Well, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
I'm half Irish. So
you're half Irish?
The St. Patrick's Day weekend is always a fun one for my family. We march in the parades and have family over for corned beef and cabbage and a lot of just great times.
I was showing my Irish heritage last night.
You went out. You went out. Our producer, Louie, works at Consumers as well. So he was working at the Consumers in South Buffalo on Abbott Road. So, Lou, you had a pretty crazy...
I can't tell you how much Guinness I sold.
Yeah.
A lot of Irish beer being sold yesterday. And, of course, I work right by South Buffalo, so it's like the busiest one.
You were anticipating it, though. Like, last week, we talked about it.
All day. I was ready for it.
That's one thing Buffalo knows how to do is we know how to celebrate.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Last year we were ranked number one in St. Paddy's Day celebrations, I think, actually. So
yeah.
Okay.
We're top five again this year, by the way.
Yeah, yep. There we go.
Number four ahead of Boston.
Easily.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, we have a lot to talk about this morning. We're going to do something a little different. Lauren, let's talk about who we have in studio today before we go into our sports update.
Absolutely. So we have reporter Jim Fink from Buffalo Business First in studio. So hi, Jim. Thanks for being on the show this morning.
Hi. Thank you. And happy St. Patrick's Day weekend to everybody. And tomorrow, happy St. Joseph's Day table day.
Yes. So I'm not Italian, and I've never done the St. Joseph's Day table, like dinner. It's a big festivity.
Come hungry.
Lots of food, right?
Lots of food.
Maybe someday I'll get invited to St. Joseph's Day.
So Jim, share with our audience a little bit about who you are and what you do.
I've been with Business First for a little bit over 30 years. I am a native Buffalonian. Moved away when I went to college and came back. Then I took a job in Vermont, working for a daily paper in Montpelier and also UPI. And then I came back at the strong urging of my wife. We'll leave it at that. So I've been back here for, as I said, a little bit over 30 years and glad to be back in Buffalo. And in Business First, I cover a lot of different topics. Ironically, sports, economic development, a little bit of Southern Ontario, hotels, hospitality, et cetera, et cetera. And you can follow me on Twitter at BFLO Biz Jim Fink, or obviously you can go right to the Business First website where we always have lots and lots of breaking news, buffalo.bizjournals.com.
Okay.
So that's the cheap plug department.
Okay. Excellent.
That is perfect.
And we have our resident guest host, co-host, Mr. D.C. Cumberlander. And no, we're not going to leave you out.
Oh, okay. As usual, it's a pleasure to be here this morning.
Okay, excellent. Well, again, we have a lot to talk about this morning, and we're going to start off with getting that sports update. Louie, what's going on?
It was a wild weekend of college hoops with the round of 68 officially underway. Two Western New York teams made it into the tournament. St. Bonaventure defeated UCLA in the play-in game, 65-58, claiming the 11th seed, but they couldn't pull off the first-round upset, falling to 6th seed Florida in the first round, 77-62. UB, however, pulled off the underdog story, the Bulls getting their first-ever NCAA tournament victory, stunning 4-seeded Arizona in blowout fashion, 89-68. Wes Clark and Jeremy Harris led the way for the Bulls, combining for 48 points on 20 of 34 shooting from the field. The Bulls faced off against the Kentucky Wildcats in the second round yesterday afternoon. The Bulls unable to keep the Cinderella story alive, falling 95-75 in Boise. UB set a school record for wins this season at 27 and end the season making history as the only team in Western New York to get a win in March Madness. Over to the ice, the Buffalo Sabres defeated the Chicago Blackhawks Saturday afternoon 5-3. Nick Baptiste scored 2 third period goals to pull away from Chicago. Chad Johnson got the win in net, making 34 saves in the Sabres' victory. Next up for Buffalo are the Nashville Predators Monday night at the KeyBank Center. Puck drop is set for 7 o'clock with pregame starting at 6 over at our sister station, WGR Sports Radio 550. A big trade involving first-round picks was finalized in the NFL yesterday, but it was not involving the Buffalo Bills. According to reports, the New York Jets have moved up from the 6th overall pick to the 3rd, making a deal with the Indianapolis Colts. The Jets send their first and 2 second-round picks this season, with an additional 2nd heading the Colts' way in 2019. Sal Capaccio breaks it all down on what it could mean for the Bills' pursuit of a franchise quarterback over at WGR550.com. Other news around the NFL, former Eagles defensive end Vinnie Curry signed a 3-year deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers yesterday, while the Dallas Cowboys released veteran corner Orlando Scandrick. This update is brought to you by Latempio PC Law Group, your complete legal counsel, and by Bocce's Pizza. Enjoy the game with a nice slice of Bocce's. For ESPN 1520, I'm Louis DiBiase.
Welcome back to Western New York at Work with Dale Martin and Lauren Lewis. And I'm just going to go right into it. I echo Louis' comment. A Cinderella story. Who wants to take a stab at...
Don't forget the UB women. They're still in it.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And they play Florida State tomorrow, right?
6:30 tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So they're still a local team in March Madness. It's women's. And, you know, don't overlook women's sports. We heard that yesterday with Emily Feltzer. She met with some of us in the media before the Sabres game. And she's talked about the role that the U.S. women's... winning the gold in Korea will do for helping bolster women's hockey. And I think, at least locally here, UB's women basketball, the more they win, the better it is for women's sports again.
I agree with you. And I think we should maybe stay on that topic just for a little bit because I don't feel that women in sports get enough attention. I think there's a lot of women in a leadership position as well. They don't get a lot of attention. But let's talk about the athletes. And Lauren, I'll start with you because, you know, you're an athlete yourself.
Yeah, I was a Division I college athlete. I did crew, and I rode at Narden and Russ Head Rowing Club, and I was able, very passionate about the sport, and I got a college scholarship, was recruited all over schools in the Northeast mostly, but I chose Fordham University in the Bronx, and it was great to be a D1 athlete, something I always carry with me, and I'm very proud of it still, but it was a great experience. You learn so much from being involved in sports, whether, you know, time management, discipline, how to be part of a team, how to be coached. There's just so many great life lessons, and it makes me really happy to see some great female athletes really stepping up and becoming leaders in the athletic world, and the better our teams do locally, and, yeah. You know, it's the UB women's team, you have the Buffalo Buttes, the women's ice hockey team.
The one last night, by the way.
Yeah. And we have some great female athletes coming out of Buffalo and representing at high levels, which is so fabulous to see. But I just really hope I would love to see more support around a lot of our teams in Buffalo, especially the college level teams.
Especially what's happening right now is the glass ceiling in sports is being shattered. Again, going back to the women's hockey, and I'm a hockey guy, played hockey all my life. I still play it. You know, I played it this morning before I came in here.
Oh, nice.
The glass ceiling is definitely being shattered, and that's good. That's across the board. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care if you're talking amateur beer leagues, youth, professional. You have the Danica Patricks, who certainly shattered the glass ceiling in racing.
Oh, yeah.
Go right across. Venus and Serena Williams could probably compete in the men's side.
I know. Right. They're a different, like,
I know, but
level.
I'm just saying,
they are phenomenal athletes.
So, I mean... It's a shame, you know, UB men's basketball, especially what they went through this year, you know, they'll pack Alumni Arena, yet the women play, and they'll play before 500, 600 people. So I think they're not getting their due. So the more they win, hopefully that translates to more people in the stands, more kids, everybody paying more attention to them.
I would love to see them do some games down at the arena at KeyBank Center.
They've tried collegiate sports at the arena, and it has failed miserably. Now, maybe with UB on the rise, St. Bonaventure on the rise, Canisius is doing better, Niagara is doing better. Maybe next season we might see a Big Four doubleheader again at the arena.
That would be fun. Like, I think now that they've done really well, they've had great seasons so far, because UB women are still in it, but so far they've had phenomenal seasons. So I think it'd be really fun to have a nice, not a lot of games, but do like one big game down at
when the NCAA's men's comes into the arena, that always that sells out, and that's great for downtown. It fills restaurants, it fills
hotels. Always a blast too.
But I mean, I agree with you. It'd be great if they did a UB St. Bona game down at the arena.
Mm-hmm.
you know, maybe get 7,000-8,000. I don't think you're going to get 19,000 people there, but who
yeah.
knows?
You're not gonna sell out the arena, but you know, even if you do that 100 level and 200 level, have a great
baby steps. I mean, you can't flip a switch.
Yep.
In anything, you really can't flip a switch and automatically see instant sellouts. I mean, it's gradual. It has to be organic to mm-hmm. a certain level, and I think we're definitely seeing that with UB's basketball, and certainly St. Bonaventure down early on, they always sell out anyways.
Well, and their fan base is so loyal.
Oh yeah,
I knew a lot of people that went to see their game in Dayton to get into.
In fact, they were talking about that. It seemed like it was a home game at the Riley Center, the way it was packed, because obviously people from UC. I don't imagine too many people from from LA flew out to Dayton to check.
Yeah, no.
I'd be shocked about that, but more people from Western New York, because what's Dayton? 7 hours from here. It's certainly a doable road trip.
Doable, yeah.
Okay. Go ahead, Mr. DC, before we take our first break.
Well, okay. One of the things I want to get in and say quickly here is that, I used to do color commentating for Lambeth College, in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I found is that I had never seen college basketball in particular. Okay. And what I found is that I saw the ladies play and I was like, wow, this is great. But then when the men came on, it was like 9 times faster. And watching it from that standpoint, you know, sitting there and actually, you know, commentating on it, I had to be quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I think what happens is that in some cases, as far as the base, you know, for women, it's there. I agree with you that it has to be organically built. And I think, unfortunately, the women may have to just kind of get out there in the community a little bit differently than the men.
Well, that's true. I would think, the reality is up until recently, Nate Oates and half the UB team, they could have walked into most restaurants and nobody would have known who they are.
Exactly.
I think people certainly know who Nate Oates is, but I bet you if you went on the street and you said, tell me who the coach of the UB women's basketball team is, 9 out of 10 probably could not answer that question.
Exactly.
And we need to change that.
Yes, absolutely.
Buffalo, you're listening to Western New York at Work with Dale Martin and Lauren Lewis. Do not go anywhere. On the other side of this break, we have more great conversation with Mr. Jim Fink. Let Trade Credit Insurance.
Hi, I'm Lauren Lewis with Staff Buffalo. Staff Buffalo is a certified woman-owned business enterprise. Staff Buffalo is a full-service professional staffing firm providing executive, direct hire, and contract solutions for employers in Buffalo, New York, and the surrounding areas. We specialize in providing our clients with the best candidates for each job, as well as personalized career management solutions to each candidate looking for new opportunities. We love to make people happy. Please check us out at staffbuffalo.com. Staff Buffalo, where Buffalo works.
Whenever you need a ride, ride local. Locally owned Liberty Cab is Buffalo's largest and most trusted taxi company. For over 40 years, Liberty Cab has provided safe, secure, comfortable transportation. Whether you're going a few miles or long distance, call Liberty Cab 24/7 at 877-7111 or download their new Curb app and get a $15 credit with the promo code Liberty. Ride local with Liberty Cab, Buffalo's largest and most trusted taxi company.
This is Frank Lotempio III, Lotempio PC Law Group, your complete counsel team meeting your lifetime legal needs. Call us at 855-3761.
Welcome back to West New York at Work. I am Lauren Lewis in studio with Dale Martin, and our guest this morning is reporter Jim Fink from Buffalo Business First, and we have our friend of the show, DC, in studio with us.
All right.
So before the show, before we took our break, we were talking about sports in Western New York and all the exciting things going on within college sports, which has been awesome. But Jim, I want to talk a little bit about your kind of background as a reporter. You've been with Business First, you said, for 30 years.
Correct.
And came back to Buffalo 3 years ago from Vermont.
No, 30 years ago.
30 years ago? I think you told me 3 years ago.
No.
30 years ago. But that being said, you've seen a lot, and our city is doing so many things. So from your lens, can you speak to the dynamics and the changes that we're seeing here in Buffalo?
Well, first of all, there's a lot, on a lot of different levels, we're obviously seeing a lot of changes. First of all, we have what I call our swagger back. For the longest time, people walked around in West New York saying, we're not good enough, it'll never happen. Well, things have developed that's changed that attitude, whether it's Canal Side, whether it's the Harbor Center, whether it's what's going on at the medical campus, even the Tesla plant out at Riverbend. All these things collectively have helped change the community swagger, psyche. So, and that matters. Because when site selectors, when people are looking at an area, if they get picked up by a taxi driver and he's doing nothing but bad-mouthing your city, it puts you behind the eight ball.
Now, so we're away from that dark cloud of...
let's be honest. I mean, the dark clouds, I mean, it hasn't gone away completely, but it's a lot better. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd say our community attitude right now is probably somewhere around 6 or 7. But it wasn't all that long ago. We were probably in the negative. So we've gone up. But obviously, there's downtown is a much different downtown today than it was even 10 or 15 years ago. You have people living downtown. I suspect if we left here and we went downtown today, wandered around, well, maybe not.
Today that's going to be a little more vibrant because the St. Patrick's Day parade.
But if there were no parade.
I already saw people heading down there.
If there wasn't a parade, I mean, if it was just a normal. Yeah. You'd see people wandering around. In fact, I was talking to somebody earlier this week, and he was talking about when he first started out in his particular field, and he worked on Sundays, you could take a bowling ball right down the middle of Main Street. Mm-hmm. He said the difference is when he comes out of his office now on Sundays, you see people wandering around, whether they're going down, to the waterfront, checking out all the new restaurants. And there are people living in downtown. The Alexander Apartments on Washington Street just officially opened Friday.
Where are those?
It's Washington Street, right between Huron and Mohawk.
Okay.
It's a building that for the longest time they stored movies in there.
Oh,
and,
interesting.
Amy Judd talking about breaking the glass ceiling. You have a female developer. She bought the building and she invested about $5 million. Turned it into, I think there's about 12 apartments in there, and they're all pre-leased.
Oh, nice.
And there's going to be a bakery on the first floor. So you're starting to see a lot of these older buildings that were sitting there, neglected, overlooked, being brought back to life as apartments, restaurants. And it's not just in downtown. You're seeing it on Hurdle Avenue. You're seeing it on Elmwood Avenue. You're seeing it along Seneca Street in South Buffalo. There's a lot of pockets. It's even working its way into the east side.
Which is the next new frontier, by the way.
Yeah. I think, admittedly, the east side was overlooked in the first wave of development, but I think there's been a concerted effort by the mayor and others to focus.
Nick Sinatra and his team of developers.
Right at the corner of Jefferson and Dodge are spending almost $30 million building that with People Inc. building out that new residence, and there's other development to follow along the way.
Well, speaking of that, and along that same topic, I think we started to see something happening between Hurdle and Elmwood, and I think they're going in opposite directions. What's your thought about that?
Funny you should mention that. I just did a front page story in depth, taking a look at why Hurdle's thriving and why Elmwood is going through a little bit rougher patch, shall we say. Hurdle Avenue, well, first of all, let's start. Physically, Hurdle is a little bit wider than Elmwood, so that changes the perception a little bit. But Hurdle, believe it or not, between like Shoshone Park and Delaware Avenue, guess how many empty storefronts there are?
On Hurdle?
Yeah, just that between Shoshone Park and Delaware.
I'm going to say zero. I don't know the number.
I was going to say six.
It's a few.
Six. It's about six.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That was just a total out of the blue guess, but I just was trying to picture driving down Hurdle.
Well, you have,
and you see a lot of new businesses going in, but you still see some vacant storefronts, but not a lot at all.
Probably the biggest, most noticeable one is the old Boss Steakhouse at Starin, and which is, but there's reasons behind that. And obviously Checkers just closed last week, which is sad. I'm still crying. I'm still crying over that.
That's a North Buffalo staple, Checkers.
Yeah, I know. But it's going to come back as a new bar and restaurant too, very shortly. So
oh, cool. That'll be exciting.
It's only dark for the short term. And, you know, further down Elmwood, Lombardo's just bought Cafe Garangelo, and they're going to make a very upscale wine bar, which should be opening sometime this summer.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So what you're seeing is if there's an empty storefront, there's already plans. Now, Elmwood, there's between, say, Forest Avenue and Allen Street, there's roughly 31 plus or minus empty storefronts. It's about 17% vacancy. There's some issues with Elmwood. And let me back up. Elmwood is still cool, chic. It's still much
vibrant.
Like her.
There's still some
it's still very much
in.
Vibrant. People are still going there. It's not desolate by any stretch. But obviously Children's Hospital closed. Mm-hmm. But they knew that for 8 years that it was closing. Mm-hmm. And there is a very solid development plan between Ellicott Development and Nick Sinatra, the Elmwood Crossing. It's going to bring a lot of new families, a lot of critical mass back into that part.
I like
of,
the mixed use that they're using with that, with their plans for the development, too.
It's very residential based, which is good. Because that means there's more people to go to restaurants, to go to the stores, et cetera. And
that being said, that means we have to start, or we are starting to create jobs.
Yes, absolutely. Our job growth has gone up. Obviously, everyone would like it to be stronger, but there are more people working now. You have the IBM Center in 4550. Key Center. You have the Tesla plant where there's 300 people in there plus or minus right now, and that's still growing. The medical campus, they're talking about having 17,000 plus or minus workers there in the next couple of years. There's more jobs. I did a story earlier this week. Canon Design wants to move from Grand Island into downtown Buffalo. That'll bring another couple hundred jobs into the area.
Why does it take so long for things to happen?
Good question.
Like, you know, because you said 8 years that they knew that Children's Hospital was closing. And, I'm kind of been keeping up with it. The plan has changed 900 times on what they're going to do with the building and down Elmwood in general. Changing.
That's part of the problem is, and this is what I pointed out in my story, the development community, the real estate community, right now they're a little skittish about Elmwood. They saw what Chase and Affinity went through to get their condos built at Elmwood and Forest. Mm-hmm. They're seeing what Simonelli Real Estate's going through right now with the Arbor Reverie projects. Mm-hmm. And there's already some pushback against Sinatra and Ellicott Development about the Children's. I know new progress can be jarring at times.
Right.
And I understand the passion. You live in the Elmwood area.
Yep.
I understand the passion, the pride, the protectiveness that people have of Elmwood. That's very noble. It should be encouraged. It should be fostered. But at the same time, do you want empty storefronts, or do you want somebody like Chase and Affinity to spend $35 million to build 50 plus or minus townhouses, which, by the way, will bring a very upper-end grouping of residents to Elmwood Village. Do you want a bunch of buildings between Bidwell and Potomac to sit empty, or do you want Simonelli to invest $45 million in, you know, bringing those buildings back to life, bringing more people there, bringing more reasons for people to get there? Somebody pointed out, you know, it's nice that they have the Saturday morning farmers market on Bidwell Parkway in the world, but you need more reasons for somebody from Amherst to come down to Elmwood. You need more reasons for somebody who, if they're visiting Buffalo, to go to Elmwood.
Mm-hmm.
Hurdle Avenue is giving them those reasons. You have great restaurants, great bars, not that you don't have those in Elmwood, but it's very inviting.
Well, I think a lot of it too is I'm a proponent for development. You have to keep up with the times that they're changing in economic development, residential, commercial development. But I think you have to keep it within the scope of the neighborhood as well and keep in line with the neighborhood you're in. Like, you can't go crazy with some crazy new building that's not going to fit the neighborhood itself. But I think a lot of what is an issue for people coming to Elmwood is parking is extremely tough.
Yep.
And on Elmwood, and people from the suburbs, they don't like parking a couple blocks away and walking.
Somebody once said, in Buffalo, if you're asking someone to walk more than 500 feet from their destination, you're asking them to walk 500 miles.
Yeah. It's true. Like,
it is true.
They don't want to like park far and walk.
But here's the irony. You take someone from Buffalo, you take them to Chicago, you take them to Toronto, New York. They have no problem walking
blocks. I've walked 40 blocks in New York City at one point.
But you ask them to walk 3 blocks in Buffalo, and again, you're asking them to walk across the Sierra Desert.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of walking, and let me just chime in a little bit. Speaking of walking, when I'm on the 198, I feel like I'm walking. And that's another area that I think has caused some great discussion.
Added to our infrastructure inertia discussion with the Peace Bridge and everything else. Obviously, what happened on the Skajakwita was very tragic a couple years ago.
Oh, without question.
And, you know, it became, in its own right, sort of a tragic tipping point. But in reality, you know, making it a 30-mile-an-hour parkway, I'm not sure that's the answer.
A little extreme.
Yeah.
It's knee-jerk reaction.
By the same token, I mean, you need to figure out a way, because, you know, when you talk about the Ring Road, it's 15 feet from an expressway where people are going 50, 60 miles an hour.
Right.
I don't care what the 30-mile-an-hour, they're still
people
going.
People are still going fast. Yeah. It is hard to go slow on the 198.
I want to make a real quick point to what you said earlier, Lauren, and you're right about change. I remember when they first built St. John's Church, it was considered like a space age.
Oh, that's one on Goodell,
you know, right? Yeah. When you come off the Michigan area. It was considered space age. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing. I think why it took so long with the Elmwood, and particularly on Elmwood and Forest, you know, what they were talking about doing there.
But it fit now. It fits,
know.
And actually when you see the final product, you're going to sit there. It's going to look like it belonged there from day one.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who designed it, Carmina Wood, they're very sensitive to Elmwood Avenue. They're not trying to build a 55-story Trump Tower.
Right, you know, right.
They're building a 3-story townhouse that fit. As I said, when it's completed, you're going to look at it and say, gee, has it been here all along?
Yeah.
Right.
Now,
well, thinking of being here, Jim, we can't thank you enough for being here. And for anyone, any company that's looking for your services, how can they reach you?
Again, let me go back. You can get me via Twitter at BFLOBiz Jim Fink. And of course, don't forget to check out the Business First website. We're constantly flooding it with stories. And that's buffalo.bizjournals.com. And of course, our circulation people will kill me if I don't say it. Give Karen Schiffmacher a call, and we'll gladly take your subscriptions, both online and print.
Okay, excellent. Well, we've run out of time for parting thoughts. Buffalo, thank you for tuning in with Western New York at Work with Dale Martin and Lauren Lewis. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Have a beautiful Sunday, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Western New York at Work, sponsored in part by Lotempio PC Law Group, Complete Counsel, meeting your lifetime legal needs, Dale Martin, Liberty Cab, Accessium Group, your most trusted IT service provider, and other successful business partners.